So I'm thinking, you know, what am I going to do? I'm going to be, I don't know, 45 minutes, 50 minutes early. I thought it started at 11. These churches, I go all over the district, different cultures, different languages. They all start different times, so it's never the same, but I should know better. But I'm actually thinking, what am I going to do for, 45 minutes? I'm not a New Yorker. By birth, I'm from the Midwest, Michigan. If you are invited to someone's house, Michigan, if you're not 10 minutes early, you're late. That's true. You don't come on time, you come a little early for everything. So it's in me, I've been here forever, but it's in me. So I'm early, and what I'm going to do, and the phone rings, and it's Nick. And he said, "Are you all right?" He thought something happened to me, because I'm late. I said, "No, why?" He said, "Because we're about ready to start." I said, "You're kidding me. You're kidding me." So anyway, I hope there's no police officers here today. But it worked out, all right? It worked out. I made it here and didn't get stopped and all that other stuff. Good to be with you, though. In June, actually, District Assembly is in May 10th, 11th, 12th, I think it is. And then I serve for 1 month after that, and like a transition period of time. And so my last day is Friday, the 15th of June. And I'm looking forward to it. It's a mandatory retirement in the denomination, but it's a gift to me. I have a lot of interests, a lot of things I want to do and continue on. And as long as God gives me health, I'll serve somehow in some place. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to what God has in store. You know, we live in Christ, and in Christ there's always new life, always. Always. We suffer a lot of little deaths in our lives. We always do. And we have losses here and there and so on. But God always somehow works together the things and makes them better. And I think that for myself, but I also think that for this church, this local church. I don't know what God has in mind for this church, except I know it's going to be very, very good. And I want to speak to you today for a little while on, I think I'm going to give voice commands, I guess, for my slide presentation. That would be number one. That's it. All right. I want to speak for a while of letting God be God. And I hope I make sense. If I don't make sense to you, it's me, it's not you. I'm not saying it right. But in our lives, many times, we take over the position of God. We do it through worry, by the way, folks. Like I used to say to my congregation, why pray when you can worry? We take over that thing, and we need to step back. And your songs, by the way, this morning, I was so glad that I caught some of them, because it's right along the lines of what I'm going to speak about today. Just really trusting, letting God be God in your life. So I'm going to start by saying, what is God really like? And the Bible says that God can be known. Now, we can actually know God. And God wants us to know Him because He wants us to trust Him with our lives. Before the foundations of the earth, you were in God's mind. Got a plan for you. So the Bible teaches we need to trust Him because God is, I'm not saying anything to you don't already know. I'm just reminding you of the stuff you already know. The Bible teaches that God is omnipotent. That means that He never gets tired. He never gets frustrated. Nothing is too difficult for God. The Bible teaches that He is also everywhere. That there is no place in the universe we can go that God is not. In fact, when you get home this afternoon, read Psalm 139 very slowly, and it'll tell you, if I go up into heaven, you are there. If I go down into Sheol or hell, you are there. And that just really tells me that there's no place we can go that God isn't. He is in our heavens, the good times. He's in our hells, the bad time. We need to find Him in all places. But today what I want to speak about is letting God be God in your life, letting him be God in your church, in your home, just really letting God be God in your life, realizing that God is sovereign. Next slide, please. The Bible says, everything in the heavens and earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as being in control of everything. Now, when I go through this, I don't go, you know, I don't say open your Bibles, because you'd have to have five Bibles here to follow me. I do different translations, so I do it on a slide. I hope you that doesn't disrupt you too much. We adore you as being in control of everything. And we know that sign over there says that I have a plan for you, and it's good. That's the scripture. So what we adore you as being a good God in control of everything. Now, what does it mean? It means because God is in control, because God created everything, it's all within his ability to manage, so to speak. Next slide. God is sovereign over nature. And I just put some scriptures up there that you can look. And by the way, if you wanted this PowerPoint, you can have it. They'll be able to give it to you afterwards, so you don't have to write everything down. But God says, I am he who has made everything there is. I have a prayer that I pray, and I pray, God, you are the one that hurls galaxies. There's so many galaxies out. Some of you scientists out there know better than I do. I mean, the universe is expanding. This is what God is doing. So you are the one that hurls galaxies and watches over the sparrows. Isn't that something? That God is that close to us, but that big also. He's over nature. Creator, sustainer of everything. Sometimes God overrules nature, and we call that a miracle when he does that. And then God, next slide, is in control of history. He said, you know, I make known the end from the beginning, what I have placed in, what I have said I will do. So he's in control of history. In fact, history is his story, not ours. And we fit into his story, all right? And next slide, God is in control over our lives. The Bible says that God sovereignly decided when you were going to be born. And he decided where you were going to be born. And he decided how long you're going to live. God decided all of those things. All things are determined by him. In fact, the Bible says all the days predestined for me, or all the days determined for me, were written in your book of life before any one of them began. So God is control over our lives. And I just want to say to you, you are no accident. I'm no accident. God planned for you. And he planned for you to be just like you are, by the way. You know, he could have planned for you to be born at a different time, different culture, different parents, taller, shorter, whatever. God, but he didn't want a different you. He wanted you. So God is in control over your life because you are part of God's plan for this world. Now, you might say that, you know, if God is sovereign, if he knows everything's going to happen, so do I have any real freedom at all in my life? Well, do I have free choice? And the answer is yes, but it's limited. You and I are created beings. This is my Father's world. We are living in my Father's kingdom. We are created beings. And there are boundaries and limits to which we cannot go. I used to say to remind my congregations all the time, and I do it around the district too, used to say to them, you are not God. You're not God. God is God. You do have freedom of choice, but it's not total freedom. You know, God has a plan and a purpose, and you fit into that plan. Now, he'll give you some freedoms. You have some freedoms, but they are limited. So you see, you are free to make choices. You can choose the way you want to live. You can choose. You can choose what you want to eat. You can choose how you live. That's all your choice. You can choose how you're going to act. You can act like, you know, a gentleman or a lady, or you can act differently than that. You can choose how you want to live and how you're going to act. But once you make those choices, you are not free to choose the consequences. Got it? All right, I can choose the way I want to live, but I'm not free after I make those choices. So as human beings, we're free to choose the kind of life we're going to live, but we cannot choose the laws of life or the rules that God put down. They're written in everything, in the DNA of everything, God's rules and the way that we are to live. So you are free to climb to the top of this roof and jump off. That's your choice. But once you do, you're not free to change the laws of gravity. You're going to break both legs if that's all you do, okay? So that's kind of a silly little thing, but it's really, really true. So today what I want to do is I want to look at just three practical ways, and I'll try to do it in good time, without rushing, but in good time. How does this affect me? How does God's sovereignty affect my plans? Because I make plans. I think you do too. How does it affect my problems? How does it affect my prayers? So, next slide. Because God is in control, my plans have a limit. In other words, because God plans for all of life, this gets beyond me, folks. I can't comprehend it. But God's plan, that plans for all of life, every creature, every part of everything is on earth, God is working in it. God is everywhere. He's all-knowing. And he's powerful, all-powerful. So because God plans for all of life, my plans have a limit. I have to fit into all of these things, and God leads us in doing this. Now, you've heard to say that the sky is the limit. The sky is the limit. No, that's not true. God is the limit. He decided what the limitations are going to be in our lives. Next slide. Bible says, many are the plans in a man or a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Thank God. You know why? Because his purpose is good for everybody. Not just me, but everybody. Next slide, please. It says, we make plans, but God has the last word. Now, have you noticed that things don't always go the way you planned? Yeah. At best, our plans are tentative because you can't see ahead. You can't see in the future. You can't see around corners, you know? So, you know, you can't see ahead, so you make the plans, but they're really changeable. You make plans based on the data that you have today. What you know today is how you make your plans. But God makes plans on all the data. God is God, all right? Am I with you? Am I saying it all right? Okay. So God has probably changed your plans a lot of time. I never planned on being a pastor, never. I planned on making a living as a musician. And I was on my way. I really was in many different ways. Now some of you remember Johnny Carson? Yeah. Now some of you remember Doc Severson? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to take his place in my mind. But I never planned also to live in New York. I planned to live in California. That's why I was going to go out to NBC and do that, play in that band or whatever. In fact, we had our plans made, a friend of mine, and he and I laid it all out, but God changed my plans. He does it all the time. You know, I knew, and I just try to make this, you know, personal with you, but also with you as a church fellowship. You know, I knew that Pastor Jerry wouldn't live forever. I knew that he wouldn't be here forever, but I never planned for him to go a few months before I retired. In fact, I planned for him to stay. And I told him, and I said, you know, just a few months, come on. And I never planned. God moves, and his plans overcome our plans many, many times. You see, there is no time with God. God knows the future, and he has a plan. So we need to be flexible with our plans. I never, ever planned to be a pastor. I certainly never planned to be a district superintendent. Never did. God had a different plan, and I just listened to his plan for my life. Next slide, please. It says here, now listen. You say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on the business, and make money. You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will do this or that. Huh. Do you say that? Yes. Yeah, I think a lot of Christians say that. You know, all right, I'll be there, Lord willing. You know, that side of thing. And what he's saying here is it's all right to make plans as long as you realize they are subject to change. God has the final say. Because he knows everything, he needs to change our plans a lot of times for the good of everyone and not just us, for everything. So I include God in my plans and goal setting. And how do I do that? I do it by reading the Word. I do it by praying. I do it by talking to other Christians. You know, I try to make my plans in that way. I've been in the ministry 45 years now. And there's been a lot of experiences. I don't have a lot of smarts, but I have a lot of experience, all right? And I've noticed that in the ministry, a lot of people make their plans and then they pray. They really do. They get all worked up about a plan, that what they want to do or whatever, and then they pray. They make major decisions, and then they seek God's guidance. It's like this, you know, God, please bless what I'm going to do anyway. That type of thing. You know, if I'm going to change jobs, if I'm going to move away, if I'm going to get married, if I'm going to buy a house, or whatever, you know, we make plans, and we want God to bless those plans. Now, we need to be saying, God, what is the very best way I can live your plan for me and be willing to do it? It might be that you have to sacrifice to fit into God's plans. You might have to stay where you are. You might have to stay in your situation. I don't know. But you got to be willing to pray the prayer and to make sure you're willing to fit into his plans. Next slide, please. We should make plans counting on God to direct us. So God wants to give us guidance. Next slide. Because God is in control, my problems have a purpose. This is the hard one for me, folks. I don't like problems. I don't like pain. Do you? I don't like frustration. I don't like not knowing. You know, I don't like any of that stuff. But my problems have a purpose. Look at this scripture. Next slide, please. At present, you may be temporarily harassed by all kinds of trials. This is no accident. It happens to prove your faith, which is infinitely more valuable than gold. How many times does it first come to mind when you have a problem, something's really going on? How many times that do you say, this is no accident? It's hard for me to do that, especially when some very difficult things come in your life, like illness, like loss of loved ones, all of these other things. God knows what God is doing. And what is God saying here? He's saying that life is not a series of random events that have no meaning. And I'm saying to you, it's hard, and this is hard for me. It's very hard for me. But I'm saying, you know, as a child of God, nothing can come into your life without the Father's permission. Nothing. That's hard, isn't it? Because things come in our life that are nasty, not good, we feel. All right? Because God is sovereign, everything that happens to us is Father-filtered. Remember, God is everywhere. He's in every breath. If you're taking another breath, it's because God is choosing you now and now and now. God is everywhere. And everything is Father-filtered. Now what? Now listen to me. What I'm not saying is this. I'm not saying that everything that happens is God's will. Many things that happen in life are not God's will. Evil is not God's will. Disease is not God's will. Accidents are not God's will. The Bible says that we are to pray, and Jesus even said this. He said, when you pray, pray, thy will be done. You know, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He asks us to pray that because God's will is often not done on earth. The accidents, the illnesses, and all this stuff. So I'm not saying that everything that happens is God's will, and I'm not saying that everything happens or that God causes everything to happen. He does not cause evil. He doesn't cause your temptation. Remember in James, it says that God cannot be tempted and he doesn't tempt anybody. It says in James chapter 1. He doesn't even have to cause all your problems. You know why? Because you do a good job of that yourself. Me too. He doesn't have to cause problems in your life, but once they come, and it doesn't matter what the problem is, if you've done it to yourself or someone done it to you, when they do come, God can make good out of them. God can use your problems for a greater purpose if you trust Him. If you trust Him. You know, you have to ask a lot of things, you know. You have to ask, why did God let that be persecuted? Remember? Book of Acts? Early church was persecuted. People were stoned, you know, and people were thrown into jail, and Stephen was stoned to death and all of that. Why did he allow that to happen? Well, you know what happens to people like you and I? We get settled in. We like the status quo more than anything. We don't want to change. And I would dare say, you know, the disciples in Jerusalem, they would never have left Jerusalem. They would never have taken the gospel out had the persecution not come. It was the greater good, tough on them, but the greater good. And so all the times that we are thinking, you know, why did this happen to us or whatever, why did God allow this to happen to us? Because a lot of times, folks, we get too settled. We get too settled. We don't want to change. Do you realize that in local churches in the United States, what is the hardest thing to change in a local church? I mean, for the people. When do the people get the most upset? And what is the hardest thing to change? One of the things that's the hardest to change is not the theology, by the way. Not. It's the name of the church. People fight over the name of the church. We get settled in. God allows things to happen. Now, I'm saying that every church kind of settles. I'm thinking, you know, people are saying, what are you going to do when you leave district superintendency, you know? What is going to happen? And I say, I don't know, but I know this, that God has a purpose and His timing is perfect and His love is perfect. God wants to do something on this district and I'm not going to be the one to do it, you know? And that's okay, because God wants to move us along. God wants to do something in this church. We don't know who the next pastor is going to be yet. God does, by the way. And God wants to do a new thing. God allows things to happen in order that we might move on to the next thing that He has for us. God could have prevented a lot of things. God could have prevented Jesus from going to the cross. But then there would have never been the resurrection, and we would have never had that sense that we are going to live forever if He didn't do it. Tough on the person Jesus, wasn't it? Yeah. But for the greater good, God allows things to happen. Because God is sovereign, my plans have a limit, my problems have a purpose. Now, knowing that every problem has a purpose, how do I respond? It's that song. I never heard the song before. But you kept repeating over and over that I trust you or something to that effect. You know, I trust the Lord of my life. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen this afternoon, but I'm laying my trust in my Father, in God, who loves me. Next slide, please. It says, the Lord has given me everything I had, and they were His to take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you know who said that? Job. Nothing has happened to any of us at the level that it happened to Job. But Job said, you know, the Lord has given me everything I had, and it's His to take away. And this is His trust. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So God is sovereign, and we'll see to it that His plan is fulfilled in our lives. Next slide, please. That is why we never give up, folks. For our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long, yet they produce in us an immeasurable great glory that will last forever. So even our problems fit into his plans. Next slide, please. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not yet seen. So I'm saying, no matter what, God has prepared wonderful things for us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that in your heart, that God has prepared wonderful things for you? And then the last point I want to make is, because God is in control, my prayers have an impact. And what do I mean by that? I mean your prayers will make a difference. You got to pray. They're worthwhile. It's not a waste of time to pray. And God never says, you know, when you're praying, oh, that's too hard for me, I can't do that. You know, your prayers really do have an impact. Next slide, please. It says, God is able to do more than we could ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, and hopes. Now, I can imagine a lot. And every time I imagine God doing something, in fact, I'm going to stand right here and imagine, you know, God just taking this church to a new level. And as I imagine what that might look like, God says, I can do more than that. I can do more than that. Well, what is it going to be like, Lord, when I'm unemployed? You know, I imagine. I say, well, maybe I can have all my bills paid. And God says, I can do more than that. I can do more than that. You know, that's what the scripture is saying at this point. And what he's saying is, he's saying that we haven't even begun to see what God can do in our lives if we ask. I wonder, how is your prayer life? You know, we aren't receiving a lot of things in our lives merely because we just don't ask. The Bible said it very clearly in James. Next slide. You do not have because you do not ask. I just keep asking God for everything. By the way, he's God. Never gets tired of me asking. Never. Never gets tired of you asking. I just ask him and ask him and ask him. But we need to ask according to his will. You know, did you know that all the things that are out of your control are not out of God's control? God can control everything. So, what do you want God to do? Are you asking? Are you asking? I'm just going to give you a key. When you pray, you know you're going to get what you want when you use this key. And this key is this. It's for you to want the will of God in your life more than anything else. I want your will in my life. I have a prayer that I wrote for myself, and it says, Lord God, I desire to be in perfect union with you. I want what you want. Is that scary? Yeah, because I'm not in control. God is. But God loves us. Want God's will in your life more than anything else. He hears your prayers. Next slide, please. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We can be sure that he will give us what we ask for. Now, the will of God is not really mysterious. You know it. A lot of his will. His will is for his reign, the kingdom of God, to come in your heart. That's his will. That's what he wants. His will is for husbands to love your wives and wives to respect your husbands. His will is for parents to nurture their children. His will is for us to be good neighbors. His will is for the wealthy to share what they have and the poor to share what they have. The wealthy have money and the poor have faith. And we need to be sharing that back. That's the will of God. That's scriptural all the way along the line. Now, God's will is not mysterious. He wants you free from sin. He wants you to think of others better than yourself. He wants you to be healed of your anger and your bitterness and your shame and all of that. God's will is the Sermon on the Mount. And when you pray, let your will be done, you can be sure you're going to get an answer. So, Let me ask you about your plans. What are you planning? Do they include the will of God? Are you willing to just surrender? Lay down your life for God. What about your problems? Do you look for God's purpose in them? Are you able to say, even when you don't understand, are you able to say to God, your will be done in my life, Lord. I've given you my life. Take my life. And I don't know what he's doing, but a lot of times when we get in trouble, he doesn't cause it, but when we get in trouble, a lot of times he has a lesson or many lessons he wants to teach us. What is he trying to teach us in our problems? And are you praying? Are you asking God? And ask him for his will, you know? Ask him for your, I want your will in my life. So, the most intelligent, liberating decision you'll ever make is let God be God in your life. Let God be God and cooperate with him in everything that he wants to do. Don't look at all of the problems as something that God didn't know was going to happen. Look at all the things that are happening in your life, in this church and so on, that God has a plan. And we can, if we trust him, we'll follow through with that plan and we'll come out all right. And if you've been making plans without him, trying to fix your own problems or having been living without prayer or whatever, just say, you know, Jesus, I'd like to have today to be the day that changes. I'd like to have the day to be the day where I'm conscious of your presence. I pray without ceasing. And I don't mean you're on your knees praying. I mean you're seeing God through all things. And I want you to come into my life in a deeper, richer, fuller way. I think that I'm going to be very excited. And I'm going to never stop thanking God for what he's going to do in the Patchogue Church of the Nazarene. I'm not kidding you. It's really going to be something. These are, your time is now. And these are great days coming ahead for you folks. We just want to have his will more than our will to be done. So let's pray together. Bow our heads and then I guess Pastor Nick will close the service for us. So let me pray. God, you know, I made a lot of plans in my life. And a lot of times I do it without consulting you. Oh, I'm certain, Lord, that you don't really care what I have for dinner. But I mean, I made plans. I purchased things. I've gone places. I've changed major things in my life without really, really consulting you. And that's probably why, Lord, some of the problems have come into my life. A lot of times, Lord, I thought my life was just about me. But now I see it's not. You have a plan and a purpose for my life, and it's far better than what I ever thought. And Lord, I've been facing my problems as if they just happened, like, you know, maybe a little superstitious even. I've been facing my problems like, you know, other people cause them, and it's their fault. Lord, I want to see your purpose in my problems instead of blaming fate or society or others. Maybe, Lord, you're trying to get my attention so that I can become the kind of person I really want to be. Lord, help me. Help me to look past the pain and see that you are in control. And Lord, I'm going to be a praying person. I just so love being in relationship and fellowship with you. You set me free, Lord. And I want to get in the habit of just talking to you and listening to you all the time. So Lord, forgive me. Sometimes I really do. I move ahead like you don't exist, or at least you don't count. Lord, I just pray that you would help me through all these situations in my life that have gotten me anxious or upset or whatever, and save me for myself. Help me to trust in you, knowing that you love me and you care for me. So Father, thank you for this church and the people of this church. Lord, I don't think they know what they've got here. They've got a good fellowship. They've got a good community here. And I know that every church has problems. Every church has difficulties. That's where we learn to forgive each other after we've wounded each other. Relationships, no matter what, are messy, Lord, many times. But such a good community here. I just pray that you would bless it. I pray that you would increase it, that you'd bring people in, that they might enjoy also the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in this community. And I pray, Father, that you would just bless over and above all that they could imagine or even think. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time we've had today. In Jesus, I pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
I asked Pastor Art if you could just stay up front here for a minute. You know, a lot of times we think people in senior positions don't need prayer support, don't need our help. Everybody needs prayer support. So I'd like to have you guys stand, if you don't mind, if you want to extend a hand towards Pastor Art. And let's just pray for him and for what the Lord has for him going forward. Father, we thank you for our brother. Yes. Lord, the leadership that you've blessed him with has ministered to many, many people and churches. And Lord, as this season of his life begins to close down, we know that you have a plan and a purpose. He preached to himself today, Lord, as much as he preached to us. So our God, we just pray your blessing on Pastor Art. Protect him, Lord, not just on the roads and as he drives back wherever he's going next, but protect him from the onslaught of the enemy, especially as he changes functions coming up soon. And the enemy's always there to try and derail us. So I pray for stamina from your spirit, from head to toe. Clear his mind, give him your peace. And we pray, Lord, in thanksgiving for his leadership to us. And now, Lord, be with him. And as we go our separate ways, we know that that you're with us. And we pray that you take the word we heard today, bring it to heart, have it take root, and be life-changing for us. And Jesus, we pray these things in your mighty name. Amen. Enjoy some fellowship with Pastor Art downstairs.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.